Scripture reading this morning is from the book of Acts. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in their native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" The word of God for the people of God.
Well, welcome to those joining us by internet this morning. We're glad you're a part of a very exciting Sunday in the life of our church. As I mentioned, we're welcoming a number of our confirmands who are sitting just to my left here in the front rows. And the qualifier I give every year on this Sunday, I give once again. I hope the message will speak to everybody here, at least in some form or fashion, but it's not for everybody. The message is for you guys, all right? Today's message is for you. You're changing our language in the world. Do you realize that? You guys are responsible. You're inventing a whole new language for us today. And we don't even use words for this language. We use abbreviations. Because of Twitter and Facebook and texting, you guys have helped come up with all kinds of new words. Let me just share some abbreviations. You tell everybody here what they stand for. LOL. Laugh out loud. OMG. Oh my gosh. Gosh is the one I use. Gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. BTW. By the way, IDK. I don't know. Try to stump you with one here. REF. I gotcha. Robert Earl Fuquay. It means whenever somebody does something really extremely brilliant, you say, "That was an REF." That's how it's going to be used. It's going to catch on, I can promise you. All right, here's another one for you today. And you can see this one on the screen. LBF. Living by faith. We're inventing that one today. This thing's going to go viral. It's going to go around the world. People are going to wear t-shirts, LBF. You'll be able to say, "I was there the day it started. I was a part of that." Living by faith. Let's break it apart a little bit. If you just see LB, what does that stand for? LB. Pound. It's a pound. LB stands for pound. Comes from the Latin word libra, pound. When you add an F, it stands for force. This is actually, LBF is a real abbreviation representing a measurement. Pounds by force. I have a little stone here that weighs about 1 pound. And it has a certain force to it, a little gravitational pull. If it sat there on that wood for years and years and years and then took it up, it might leave a little bit of an indention or something to let you know that it had been sitting there. But what if right now I dropped it from right here? It's definitely going to leave a mark, isn't it? What if I took it as hard as I could and threw it down? It will definitely leave a mark. When you add a pound with force, it increases impact. Your faith and my faith works like that. To believe. Just believe. Believe in God. Believe that God is real. That's not a bad thing. That's a very good thing. But when you put that belief into some kind of action to make a difference in the world, suddenly, faith has impact. It's going to make a difference. So today, for our whole church, we're beginning a new series. We're going to do this for the rest of the summer called LBF, Living by Faith. And we're going to study stories in the book of Acts, the best collection of stories in the Bible of people living by faith. And we begin with the best story for Pentecost Sunday, or for confirmation, which is Pentecost, the birthday of the church. That's the best story to begin for this day in which you become members, because that's when the church was born. Jesus' disciples, on the day of Pentecost, were doing what he told them to do. Following Easter Day, Jesus appeared to the followers for 40 days, and on the 40th day, Jesus ascended into heaven. He left, but he told them, wait, stay together, and pray for the Holy Spirit to come and give you power. And 10 days later, on Pentecost, which was a festival in the Jewish faith, when people from all over the world would come together, on that day, the Holy Spirit came, and it was spectacular. The writer describes it like tongues of fire coming down from heaven and resting on each of the disciples, giving them the ability to start declaring God's mighty work of power in other people's languages. And when folks in the town heard the commotion, they came to see what was happening, and some of them could say, wait, they're speaking my language. I understand what's going on. And people started praising God and asking the question, what does this mean? What does this mean? So I want to think for a few moments with you about what does the story of Pentecost mean for living by faith? What does Pentecost teach us about LBF? One of the things it teaches us is that God brings hope to the world through ordinary people. God brings hope through ordinary people, but not just any people. Ordinary people who seek to be used by God. The disciples were just ordinary people. They weren't especially smart or especially talented. They were just obedient. They did what Jesus told them to do. That is how God brings hope to the world. People who say, God, if you can do something in my life, hey, I give it to you. I'm available. I'm here to be used. That is the way God brings hope to other folks. If I had a live electrical wire right now and I grabbed a hold of it in my hand, what's going to happen to me? Something not real good, right? Yeah. I'm going to get shocked. What if I put on a thick rubber glove and then I grab a hold of it? What's going to happen to me? Nothing. Why? Electricity cannot pass through rubber. Electricity will not enter into that which it cannot pass through. You guys have already learned that in science, right? I appreciate how you're looking at me kind of surprised, though. I really appreciate that. The Holy Spirit does the same thing. The Holy Spirit works the same way. The Holy Spirit will not enter into that which it cannot pass through. And when people say, oh God, I'm available to you, I will let you pass through my life to do what you would like to do to be of hope to other people, God says, oh, I've been waiting for that. I can change the world with that. God can change the world through your life, not because you've got to go out and be brilliant, not because you've got to make a lot of money first, not because you've got to possess some superior talent to the other people around you, but simply because you're humble enough to get on your knees and say, God, if you can do something great through me, here I am. Here I am. Something else Pentecost teaches. Not only is that how God brings hope, but God will take us to people very different from us. God will take us to people very different from us. The disciples started declaring God's mighty acts in languages they had never spoken to people they had never met before. Confirmands, how many of you can speak another language? Any of you? Look at that. Look at that. Several, like half the group can speak another language. And you probably know a number of words and languages beyond that. How long did it take any of you to learn another language? How long? A year? A couple of years maybe? What if God said, you know what? I can give you my Holy Spirit and zap you immediately with the ability to speak another language and it won't take any time at all. Would that be pretty cool? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? You don't have to take several years of Spanish or French 4 or nothing like that. Just right away. The point of this story is not that God can keep you out of linguistic classes. The point is that if we let God keep using us, God will take us to people who are very different and help us understand where they are and what they're going through and give us something to share that will help them. It's just like ripples in a pond. It just keeps going out and out and out. And the more we let God use us, the more we're going to go to people who are just very different. You know, you guys represent the most internationally, culturally aware generation in our history. How many of you right now know someone who is from another country or has lived in another country? Every one of you. Every one of you. Many of you speak different languages. Right now, you've got devices on you probably that you could communicate to somebody in another country. You're going to know more about people of other lands and faiths and races than any of us. And God will want to use that. When you become a Christian, please, please catch this. When you become a Christian, it does not make you more narrow. It does not limit your scope of friends and influence. It widens it. Because Christ is for everyone. And Christ will want to use you to bring hope to as many people as possible. One more thing Pentecost teaches is if you let God do that, and I don't mean just like every now and then or half-hearted. If you're real about it and you let God do that, some people are going to think you're weird. Some people are going to think you're weird. On the day of Pentecost, people started making fun of the disciples. They couldn't understand what was going on. And some of them accused them, even though it was 9 a.m, accused them of being drunk because they didn't understand it. If you let God really, really use you, sometimes people are just going to think you've lost your mind. They're going to think you're kooky. They're going to think something's wrong with you. And you'll have a decision to make. Am I going to live to please God or to please other people? Now, those do not have to be mutually exclusive. Sometimes when we please God, we please people. But in every person's life, there comes a time when we have to make that decision. Am I going to try to please people or am I willing to please God and be criticized for it? That day will come for you. But God will use you in a significant way as long as you say, God, I want to represent you. Let me tell you about somebody who I think demonstrates all of this. I was in his hometown a couple of weeks ago. Here's a picture of his hometown. He wasn't there the day I went by. Well, no, that's not true. He was there, but he's buried. He's been dead about 800 years. That is Assisi, Italy. And over 800 years ago, a guy who lived in that village named Francis. In fact, the new pope who was just elected took that name, Pope Francis. Here's why he took it. Right before he got elected, when it was clear he was about to get elected, one of the cardinals came up and he said, "Don't forget the poor." He sat down as the last vote was being taken, and he kept thinking about that, and he thought, "If I'm elected, I've got to be Pope Francis." Because Francis cared about the poor. He lived for the poor and for peace and for the environment. That's why he took that name. Here's a picture, as you see. Kind of a weird looking guy, isn't he? He was asked to keep his head shaved on top as a part of his special calling. It kind of set him apart. He grew up in a wealthy home. A dad who wanted him to go into business one day. But he wasn't satisfied doing that. And in his 20s, he felt like God was calling him to something special. And one day he found out. He was riding his horse and a leper asked him for help. And normally, Francis didn't have anything to do with lepers. He was repulsed by people like that. But he felt God saying, get off your horse and help that guy. And he thought, if that's God, I better obey. And he got off his horse and he said, all of a sudden, he felt a surge of power to do something he had never had the power to do. He embraced the leper. And he realized, God wants me to help the poor. God wants me to help people nobody else is willing to help. So he decided, if I'm going to do this, I've got to be all in. I got to give away everything I own to help poor people. And so he did. And other people started following Francis. And they formed a special community of people who gave it all away to help the poor. One day, Francis said, you know what? I need to go to more people. And he went to the Holy Land to preach peace to the Crusaders and the Muslims, because he believed God cared about both of them just the same. So you see, somebody willing to let God use him, and somebody who found himself going to people very different from him. But he was also made fun of. People thought he was weird. You know who thought he was the weirdest? His own dad. His dad was embarrassed by him. His dad said, son, if you don't give up this nonsense of helping poor people like you are, I'm going to take away your inheritance. You know what Francis said? Well, you might as well keep it, because if you gave it to me, I'd give it away. So his dad just got madder. He said, well, then I'm going to take you to court and I'm going to disown you. So he took him to court. And Francis took all the money in his pockets and gave it to his dad. And he said, I want to give everything you've ever given me back to you, including my clothes. He took off all his clothes in the middle of the courtroom and handed them to his dad. He stood there naked in front of everybody. He said, because God is all I've got. That's why I've titled the message today, Naked Before God. I'm not going to ask you to repeat that. But I want you to think about what it symbolizes. That it symbolizes somebody whose faith was so real to them, they were able to say, God, you're all I've got. I want to live for you as completely as I know how. And 800 years later, because one guy in a tiny little unheard of village said that, here we have a modern pope who says, I want to take on that name. I need to live that way. Guys, God will change the world as you seek to let God use you in significant ways. It might mean people think you're crazy from time to time, but it will honor God in a way that blesses others. I hope you don't join the church today. I hope you don't just join the church. The world does not need any more church members. We've got enough already. But the world is desperate for disciples of Jesus Christ. And I hope that is what you will seek to be, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as you do that, a lot of people all around you will be eager to know, what will this mean? Gracious Lord, we thank you on this birthday of the church that we can celebrate and welcome into this family, this group of servants. We pray your blessing upon them today, that they would understand this activity not just as church membership, but a step in discipleship, a step in following you, and knowing what it means to live for you and to let you